It is 6:10. Welcome to that extended special edition Jacksonville's Evening News. I'm Mark Jackson, joined by reporter Stephanie Brown and WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. We're all going to break down what happened today while court was in session, where two of Kareem Brown's co-defendants had their sentencing hearings today. Actual sentences will be handed down Monday, December 4th. Stephanie in the courtroom for the better part of the day. Mark Rubin joining us by phone tonight. Stephanie, we'll start with you. You were in the courtroom most of the day while Carla Wiley and Ronnie Simmons were in court.
That's right. Just to take a quick step back for people who are maybe tuning in and out of this case, what's gotten us to this point is in May, former Congresswoman Kareem Brown was convicted on 18 federal fraud-related charges in connection to funneling money through a sham charity. Basically, she and her chief of staff, Ronnie Simmons, would solicit hundreds of thousands of dollars for this charity, One Door for Education, but then use the money for personal expenses, lavish events, and the like instead. Carla Wiley, the third person involved in this scheme, she's the president of One Door and essentially handed over the keys to the organization to Simmons and then ultimately Brown. So Simmons and Wiley actually pleaded guilty ahead of the trial. They testified against Brown. And that's where we're going to bring in WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, because Mark, one of the things that was heavily discussed during the sentencing hearing today was the determination of substantial assistance. And ultimately, the judge decided that he would let more lenient sentencing guidelines for these two people because of the contribution they provided. I mean, how important is that for prosecutors when they're building their cases?
Well, it's very important, Stephanie. The situation in our government is that the court systems will not work unless you have witnesses. And sometimes you have to reward witnesses that have superior knowledge. And in this case, Wiley and Simmons both helped the government make their case. Now, the government may have been able to make the case without them, but certainly they made it a lot easier for the government. So in order to incentivize these parties to give true testimony, they're confronted with, hey, you're going to have to plead guilty, you're going to have to tell the truth, and then when it comes time to sentence you, we as the prosecutors are going to go to the judge and tell the court how you helped us. And if you do testify truthfully, and in some cases, sometimes they overreach, sometimes they don't. It just depends. The judge is listening to all that testimony, and if he feels the witnesses are honest, then they're going to get credit at the time of sentencing and get lesser sentences than if they had not cooperated.
And the judge did say in this case that he did believe that both Wiley and Simmons were sincere. They showed remorse. Both actually spoke at the sentencing as well, apologizing for everything that had happened. You know, when we're talking about the government needs the incentive, needs to be able to bring in people with a promise of maybe some leniency here, that was one of the arguments that Wiley's attorneys made today, because they were arguing basically that she's low woman on the totem pole, and prosecutors even admit that she didn't interact with Brown quite as much. She was really involved in basically creating and handing over the organization and then committing theft for herself, separate from what Brown and Simmons were doing. But she was, again, that first person to flip and really start help the government. So her attorneys are saying, when you have this low man on the totem pole, if you give them a harsh sentence, what message is that sending to other people who may be in Wiley's position? I imagine that's something that probably comes up often in these kind of discussions. Is that still an effective argument here?
Oh, it's very effective, because in these cases, the government needs to have the ability to prove all the little details. The burden is on the government to prove beyond to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt, and having witnesses like Wiley and Simmons talk about the inside baseball of what you otherwise might not see could at least allow Kareem Brown to create reasonable doubt by saying, well, the government couldn't connect this, that, and the other one. But with Wiley and Simmons, they were able to connect those dots. And let's face it, Kareem Brown was the big fish. The government wanted her in the worst way. And they were willing to do whatever they had to do, including, make promises and incentivize these other two smaller fish in order to get what they needed to get a conviction. And they did.
And with Simmons, we saw he actually only pleaded guilty a few weeks before the trial, which was much, much later than Carla Wiley. So that wasn't really a factor when you're talking about the recommendations that were made. But what the prosecutors did point out, and I was actually a little bit surprised to see quite how candid this discussion was from the assistant U.S. attorney. He basically said that Simmons should still be granted that substantial assistance, not only because, as you mentioned, Mark, he helped really piece everything together with some really critical knowledge, but also because he severed ties with Brown. And the way the assistant U.S. attorney described it, he called the decision gut-wrenching. He said that the relationship between Simmons and Brown is unlike anything he has ever seen. And this is the prosecutor. This isn't even the defense that's making this case here. And he basically said that, you know, severing that relationship, cutting ties on his mentor, his essentially mother, is something that they had to give weight to and that they ultimately really needed the court to recognize.
Well, I mean, you know, that's good talk in court, and it's very interesting. I think that, for me, the bigger piece here is that the government, this isn't the last case that the government is going to prosecute. And if they don't provide credit to people that help, then what's going to happen in the next case when the next witness in a big public corruption case says, well, look what you did to Ronnie Simmons. You took his plea. You promised him everything. You didn't give him anything. And so why should I cooperate when you're just going to send me down the river? So, you know, the government has to take the long view. And so they step up to the plate. They tell the court what cooperation there was. And then they leave it to the judge to make the ultimate decision.
So to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit on what happened inside of the courtroom today, as I'm here speaking with WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, we've been talking a lot about Carla Wiley and Ronnie Simmons, the two co-defendants in the fraud case against former Congresswoman Corrine Brown, getting consideration for their substantial assistance that they provided the government. So what that translates to is basically the guidelines that are in place for their sentences have now been reduced because of the credit from the government. So with those guidelines, now Wiley has been recommended for anywhere around 2 years or so, and Simmons around 3 years. But these are only guidelines. And Mark, in the next segment, we'll get more into, you know, what the judge does here. But what I want to take a look at is what I found to be interesting. Prosecutors here, beyond recommending the substantial assistance, when the judge was kind of hammering in on what the potential sentences could be, prosecutors said if the court decides to sentence Wiley to a lighter sentence, they wouldn't object. But if the court wants to sentence Simmons to a lighter sentence, they would only want to see a very minor variation. They think that the recommendation of in around 3 years, a little bit more or less on either side, is appropriate, really making their case that they want punishment in this case. And is that surprising to see that they would actually be willing to go even lower for one of these defendants and kind of draw the line there?
No, because you know, these witnesses over the time that led up to this trial, they're human beings, and so are the prosecutors. They develop relationships. There's a trust relationship, because you don't put a witness on the stand that you don't trust. And so this is the payback time. But at the same time, I think what I heard you just talk about was the fact that Simmons was going to have more accountability because he was more involved in the transactions, but also it took him a lot longer to come in, to come home, to come over to the good side, as the prosecutors would characterize it. And so the fact that he took so much longer has to have some accountability. Had he come in and confessed when Carla Wiley did, then he would be getting the same kind of treatment that she's getting. It would be unfair for them both to get the same treatment.
All right, thank you, Mark. Stay with us. Mark Jackson, Stephanie Brown, and WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin breaking down today's sentencing hearing for former Congresswoman Corrine Brown's co-defendants Carla Wiley and Ronnie Simmons, all three convicted on multiple federal charges. Coming up, we'll recap today and then what comes tomorrow when the congresswoman herself is expected to be in that courtroom. Stay with us. WOKV News Time is 6:19. Welcome back. Mark Jackson, Stephanie Brown, and WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin breaking down today's sentencing hearing for former Congresswoman Corrine Brown's co-defendants Carl Wiley and Ronnie Simmons, all three convicted on multiple federal charges. We did not get actual sentences today. They'll be handed down for all three on Monday, December 4th. But today the judge heard arguments from both sides recommending from the minimum to maximum sentences. He's not bound to either, of course. Stephanie Brown and Mark Rubin back with us tonight. Stephanie, from what you heard today in federal court, what might be coming down when those actual sentences are handed out?
So basically what we have in federal court is these guidelines, which we talked about in the last segment. That's what is going to serve to advise the judge on a range for the sentence, which for Carla Wiley looks like it's in around 2 years in prison. For Ronnie Simmons, in around 3 years in prison. Both of them are hoping to avoid prison time outright. But ultimately, the judge here says he's considering a range of factors. And, you know, bringing in WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, and we actually saw the judge today question Carla Wiley specifically, because while the prosecutors are saying they want her to face the lightest sentence of the three, and they said that they wouldn't even mind if the court made a downward adjustment, the judge wanted Wiley and her attorneys to know that he's still considering a lot, including why she didn't intervene when she realized the theft was going on, why she was committing this theft herself, why she didn't really try to make this organization a charity. And Mark, does that kind of give us an indication that maybe he is looking to get away from those guidelines and maybe not quite in the way that Wiley would want?
Well, you know, it's all love and light when you listen to the defense attorneys talk about how they want credit for what they've done. But at the end of the day, everybody that's appearing before the judge, Wiley, Simmons, and Corrine Brown tomorrow are criminals. They're convicted felons that are facing the music. And, of course, tomorrow is the heavyweight round. Yes, today's activities were more preliminary, and everyone was kind of on the same side, but just different levels of compassion or sentencing, with everybody talking about how we want to help these people on both sides for the work that they did, just degrees. Tomorrow is a very different thing. This is like King Kong versus Godzilla. Both think that they have the winning argument. Corrine Brown's staff and her counsel are going to come to the court, and they're going to talk about what great person she was, how she served the community for so long, her charitable work, all the great things she did. Corrine delivers, you know, with the military and all the money that she brought back to Jacksonville. On the other side, the government is going to be talking about how there was an abuse of trust. And that's one of the worst things that you can do, is put somebody in a position of trust and then have them personally use that position for their own gain. It's very much, you know, two very compelling arguments, and both think they have winning arguments tomorrow.
And we already heard prosecutors kind of hinting at the fact that they are going to be calling out Brown for some of her testimony and actions. And I do want to give a quick read to something I actually found in the sentencing memo, just to give that idea of what prosecutors are looking at. I mean, one of the things that they said, leaders of American democracy owe a duty to the public to act within the law, uphold the highest ethical standards. Brown became corrupt. Society expects courts to punish convicted and corrupt politicians. I'm going to be in the courtroom tomorrow as Brown does ultimately face the judge, and we're going to have continuing coverage here on WOKV.
All right. Thank you so much, WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephanie Brown, good work all day in court today. Join us tomorrow night, same time, for a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News. And, of course, all day tomorrow for updates as Corrine Brown expected before the judge tomorrow in federal court for her sentencing hearing. Meanwhile, for Stephanie and Mark, I'm Mark Jackson. See you tomorrow night.